Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin Daf Ayin Ches, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph at the end of the second line. It says the Gemara Amar of Yehuda, Kohen Gadol ba'almana. If a Kohen Gadol has relations with almana, we know a Kohen Gadol may not marry an almana. The halacha is loikishtayim. He gets two sets of malchus. Achs mishum loyikach. He has been over the avera of loyikach. Achs mishum loyichalal. And also for the avera of loyichalal. Ask the Gemara, Vilulki Nami Mishim Leichal Zaroi, why doesn't he get also Malkus for making his children into Chalolim? Answers the Gemara, Bishlagama Biyosai. It's when he hasn't done a complete act of Biyam. So the way many Rishonim understand the Gemara is that if indeed, besides making Kedushin and Biyam with a Amana, he did a Gemar Biyah, he did a whole act of Biyah, he would get actually three sets of Malkus. But there are Rishonim that disagree. And they say that you're not over the lav of Lo Yichalol Zaroi, even with a Gemar Biyah, for two reasons. One reason they suggest is because you're already over the lav of Lo Yichalol, as the Gemara just said, by actually having the Biyah. And you can't get two sets of Malkus for one act of Biyah. Another, you can't get Malkus twice for Lo Yichalol. Another explanation that the Rishonim suggest is Lo Yichalol Zaroi means that you have children who are Chalolim. You're over the lav of Lo Yichalol Zaroi. Just because a Kohen Gadol had relations with Almana doesn't mean that thou will end up with children. And therefore, he doesn't get Malkus. What's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? A very simple nafkamina. What will be if he ultimately does have a child? According to the pshat, that this is a lav that you already got Malkus for. So even if he ends up having children, he won't get Malkus for it. According to the other pshat, true, you won't get Malkus right after you did the Avera, because it might not end up with a child. But if ultimately it does create a child, retroactively you will have been over the lav and be Chayiv Malkus. Masav Rava, ask Rav, it says in the Mishnah, Masechta Malkus, Amon of a Grusha Loike Mishum Shnei Shemus. If a Kohen has relations with a woman who's both an Amona and a Grusha, he gets Malkus for two sets of Malkus. My Lav, Shnei Shemus Asulai. He only gets two sets of Malkus. But according to the way we're learning, he should be really getting four Malkus, because every time he's over two Lavin, says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is Loi, Shnei Shemus Alzeh, V'Shnei Shemus Alzeh. Two Malkus for the Grusha, and two Malkus for the Amona. Says the Gemara, if so, Ihochi, if that's the way to understand that Mishnah, Amos Sefer, let's continue learning that Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a Kohen has relations with a woman who's both a Grusha V'Chalutza, Ein Chayev Al Achas. But the way we're saying, it should be Chayev twice. One for Grusha, one for Chalutza. Says the Gemara, Hach Kamer. Ein Chayev El Mal Achas. As far as Malkus is concerned, he's only Chayev for one. He's only Chayev for Grusha. Well, Olam Shnei Shemus. There are two Averis. There's the Aver of Grusha. There's the Aver of Chalutza. But as the Gemara is teaching us now, the Isser for a Kohen to marry a Chalutza is only an Isser Drabonim. Ask the Gemara, the Chalutza Drabonim, is the Isser for Kohen marrying a Chalutza only an Isser Drabonim? Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa, Grusha, only El Grusha. If I only had the Pasuk of Grusha, I would only know that Kohen is prohibited to marry a Grusha. Chalutza Minayin, from where do we know that Kohen may also not marry a Chalutza? Tameloimer, V'isha. The Torah has an extra word, V'isha, to teach us that for Chalutz, a Kohen may not marry a Chalutza either. So we're back to where we started. The Mishnah seems to indicate that if Kohen has relations with a woman who's a Chalutza, doesn't get Malkus, why not? Answers the Mara, Midrabanan. The Isser is only a Drabanan. We just quoted the word V'isha. That's only Kra, a Smachta Ba'alma. It's only an Asmachta. It's not a Chiyiv Deraisa. It's worthwhile to review what pshat as smachta. So Mefarshim explained that I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat of an asmachta is that the Isser is only an Isser d'Rabbonim. However, the Torah knew that people typically are more lax in their observance of the Rabbonims. So the Torah purposely, deliberately put a reference into this Isser in the Torah that people should take it more seriously. Another pshat, very interesting pshat, is that we have here a reference to something with the Raisa. But there are times where the Torah makes reference to certain Isurim, and the Torah left it up to the Rabbanon to decide what level of Issa to give it. If to give it the level of a Daraisa, or to give it the level of the Rabbanon. That's the definition of an Asmachta. So I saw the Mefarshim asked that, and Yosef asks, other ask, that the Gemara is saying that actually if a kohen has relations with a woman who's both a grusha and a chalutza, he is over to Isurim, just the Isser Chalutz is only Isser Drabon. So I saw that they ask, going back to the discussion that we had in the previous year, why isn't this a situation of Enes Achalal Isser? You know why a Chalutza doesn't become Isser, doesn't get Malkus? Because this woman is already Isser to the Kayin because she's a Grusha. So I saw two answers. One answer, as we said in the previous year, in a situation of Isser Maisif, then everybody says, we say, Issachal Alisser. Since this woman, who's a grusha, once the one brother gives a chalitza, there's an Isser for all the other brothers to marry her, as we've learned so many times. Kivin Shabana, Kivin Shalaybana Shivla Yivna. Once he didn't do, once chalitza was done, she becomes Asa to them. So once she's Asa to all the other brothers, it's an Isser Maisif, and we say Issachal Alisser. Another pshat that I saw is if pshat in that Mishnah that the reason why he doesn't get Malkus after if he marries a woman who's both a Grusha and a Chalutza is because Enes Achal Alisser, so that concept can be taught with different Isuri Kahana. Why did it have to specify Grusha and a Chalutza? There must be something unique about a Chalutza. What is unique about a Chalutza? As we just learned, it's only Issa Drabonim. Amar Abaya. So says Abaya, Kidesh. If a kohen was mekadesh a woman that he wasn't supposed to, loika, he gets malchus. Boyel, if he has relations with her, he gets another set of malchus. Kidesh, if he was mekadesh her, loika, mishum layikach, he's ovedasev layikach. Boyel, if he only does bia, loika mishum layichal, he gets the lav of your layichal. Rava disagrees. Boyel, loika, if his kedushin was foul with a bia, then he gets malchus loybal. But if he only had kedushin, but that didn't lead to a bia and a loika, then he won't get malchus either. Mishum diksiv loyikach v'loyichalo. My tam loyikach. When is he over the lav of loyikach? Mishum loyichalo. So according to Rava, until the person both does kedushin and bia, he won't get any malchus. So Mefarshim ask, we know that the halach is that someone can't be over an aveira, can't get a punishment at least for an aveira, until he gets hasra. And we have to know that before he's doing the aveira, he's about to do the aveira. We've spoken about this concept many times. And then you give him hasra. Here, let's say this person is being mekadesh, a kohen is being mekadesh a woman that he's not supposed to. When he's being mekadesh that woman, he is not yet being over that aveira until he does bia. So if so, it's hasra suffik, because we don't know if he's going to consummate it with a bia. So because of this question, interesting Ramban, because of this question, the Ramban says that according to Rava, no person will never be able to get two sets of malchus, because you can't give him hasra on the kedushin, so it can never get two sets of malchus. Other Rishonim say there is a way he get two sets of malchus. What's the way? If he does kedushin with bia, so then the kedushin and bia come at the same time, and we know that kedushin is worthwhile. As we finish the mesechta to review what we learned at the beginning of the mesechta, one of the ways you could create kedushin is with bia. Another pshat is that this entire concept of asra sofik if it's considered a valid Asura or not is actually a Shaila, and we're going to have to say that Rava follows the opinion that Asura Sofik Shema Asura. Another Pshat, last Pshat that I'll quote, is a Pshat that I saw from Imre Moshe, a Lomdash Pshat. We know that the first Mishnah Masechta the Shabbos tells us the Malachas I saw, the Malach of carrying on Shabbos, requires two steps, an Akira and a Hanocha. Do you need to have separate hasras for both the Akira and the Hanocha to be chayiv? He says, of course not. That just means that that's the Avera, the way the Avera is transgressed. Similarly here, hasra on one is considered enough for both. Very bechidish. But then the Mefarshim ask another question. We had a discussion, actually a different machlokes of Abaye and Rava, about Kedushin She'enem Esurim Labia. A Kedushin that can't be consummated with a Bia if it's considered a valid Kedushin. So if somebody makes Kedushin with this woman, a Kayin, makes Kedushin with a woman who he's not supposed to marry, it's a Kedushin She'enem Esurim Labia. You're not supposed to have relations with this woman. So why is that Kedushin, according to the Man D'Omer, that says Kedushin She'enem Esurim Labia, that's not a good Kedushin, why are we recognizing that Kedushin? So we actually have discussed this question earlier when we discussed the sugya of Kedushin and Esurim Labia, and the Rishonim say the following teretz. They say, what is Pshat Kedushin Shem Esurim Labia? That the Bia becomes prohibited because of the Kedushin. We spoke about a case where somebody was Mekadosh to women who are related to each other, and you won't be able to do Kedushin, you won't be able to do Bia with either because you don't know who's your wife and who's the relative of your wife. So what created the Issabia? The Kedushin created the Issabia. So Rava holds, Kedushin Shainam Esurim Labia, Loishma Kedushin. Over here, the Kain's prohibition to have Bia with this woman is not because of the Kedushin. The Issa to have Bia with this woman is because the Torah says he's not going to have Bia with this woman. That's not called the Kedushin Shainam Esurim Labia, where it's not the Kedushin that created this Issabia. Says the Gemara, Amr Abai, Umayd Abai, however Abai agrees, but Machzul Grushasai, we know that if somebody divorces his wife, if she gets remarried, he's not allowed to take her back. Shem Kidesh V'loi Bol, if he only was Mekadosh her, but never had relations with her, Shena Loika, that he doesn't get Malkus. Why? Lekachtoi Lias Loili Isha Amr Rachmana. The Torah says that he has to take her with Kedushin. He has to have Kedushin and Bia, Amr Rachmana, and if he doesn't have the Bia, Valekta, there is no Lav. Furthermore, Umay Derava, the Kohen Gadol Balmana, that Kohen Gadol with Almana, Shimbal V'loi Kiddush, if he just did Bia without Kedushin, Shaloika. There he'll get Malkus even though there was no Kedushin. Other than all the other Isuri Kahuna, because V'loi Chal Zara Ba'amav Amr Rachmana, Frechilo, if he has inappropriate relations, he created an act of chalolos. The Rambam, based on this Gemara, says a very big chiddush. Very big chiddush. The Rambam says, we've discussed numerous times, as we're starting to finish Seder Nashim, that there are many women that there's a chiyuv lav for somebody to have relations with. Says the Rambam, the only time somebody is going to get malchus for having relations with a woman that's a chiyuv lav is only if he did first Kedushin in that woman. If he didn't do Kedushin with the woman, and he was boil her, he would not get Malkus. Because Rava, what's his Raya? The Chachmi Lunil, say the Raya for the Rambam is Al Gemara. Because Rava is saying, Kain Godel Balmona is an exception to the rule. That a Kain Godel Balmona gets Malkus just for the Bia. Everybody else, you have to have Kedushin. Otherwise you wouldn't have Malkus. Very bechidish. Most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and they say Al Gemara is speaking about Issa Kahuna. By Issa Kahuna, you don't get Malkus, according to Rava, unless there's a Kedushin and a Bia. But of course, by other Isuri Lavim that are not Kahuna-based, they say Bia alone is Mechayiv Malkus. Vishnei Moida, continues the Gemara, both Abai and Rava agree, but Machzul Grushasai, Shembov Loikidesh, if he just did Bia alone, Loika. Why? Because Derech Lekuchen Asur Torah, he did an act of Bia. What would be the halacha if somebody was Machzul Grushasai and he did both? He did Kedushin and Bia. How many sets of Lavin will he get? It's a subject of a Machlokes Rishonim. Most Rishonim say he'll get one set of Malkus. The other Rishonim suggest he'll get two. We learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses that a Geyorus, the Kohen, is not supposed to marry a Geyorus. The question was, who is that Geyorus? Who is considered a Geyorus that a Kohen is not allowed to marry? We actually saw in the Mishnah a three-way Machloikus. Yehuda says we look at the father. If the father is a Ger, the daughter is considered a Geyorus, not. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says both parents have to be Gerim. Then their child will be considered a Ger. Otherwise not. Rav Yaisi is even more lenient. He says as long as the girl was born Jewish, the fact that her parents are Gerim doesn't make a difference. And now the Gemara analyzes the basis for each of these opinions. Rav Yehuda Amar Basker Zochah Kibas Cholol. If the father is a Ger, the daughter is considered like a Cholol, and she's considered a Geyorus. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer, Bas Ger Zocher, if a father is a Ger, she's treated Kibas Cholol Zocher. Just like we learned in our Mishnah yesterday, that if the father is a Cholol, the daughter is a Cholol, the same is regarding Gerim. And Rav Yehuda says, Vadin Noisen, it's logical to say this. Ma Cholol, Shabbat Matipa Kshera, a Cholol is a regular Jew. He's a Cholol, but still, since he's a chalol, Bita Psula, his daughter is considered a chalola. Ger Shabamatip Psula, Ger who originates from non-Jews, or he himself was non-Jewish, or was he descendant of non-Jews, ain't a din. Shabita Psula. And that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns his opinion. Ask the Gemara, Mal chalol, Shekin Yitzirasa Bavera. Maybe the chalol comes from Jewish stock, but there was an Avera involved, whether the Cholol himself did the Avera or the previous generation, but the Cholol emanates from the act of an Avera. A Ger, nobody did anything wrong, says the Gemara, Kohen Gadol ba'almana yichiyach. If a Kohen Gadol has relations with almana, she'en yitzirasa ba'avera, the Kohen Gadol is fine. He maybe is doing something wrong, but he himself, his yichus is fine, still, bitei psula. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. Mal Kohen Gadol ba'almana, shekein bi osa ba'avera. Maybe the Kohen Gadol himself is a fine yichus, but he did an avera by having relations with an almana. Says the Gemara cholo yichiach. The cholo didn't do an avera. The cholo was born from people who did an avera, but he didn't do avera. Says the Gemara, we have this derech many times in the Gemara. Tzara shava the chazar hadein loy rizek rizek. What is the common denominator between a cholol and a kohen gadol marrying an avera? They're not following the way most of the community follows. They're different, and therefore his daughter is possible to a kohen, and therefore bita psula. Ask the Gemara, malat sara shavish behen. No matter if we look at the case of a cholol, or we look at the case of a Kohen Gadol with an Almana, in both of these cases, there wasn't a Avera committed. On the other hand, by a Ger, there was no Avera committed. So how can we use, even in combination, Cholol and Kohen Gadol by Almana to teach a Halacha regarding Gerim? Here an Avera was committed, here no Avera was committed. Shebekein yesh ben Tzad Avera. By both of them, some sort of an Avera was committed. Says the Gemara, Loi Tema Kohen Gadol Ba'almana Yichiyach. Don't say that what we use to support, and this is the way the Chronim learned the Gemara. The real basis for this halacha is the din of Cholol. We only had a question from Cholol. That what? That the Cholol emanates from an act of an Avera, whereas a Ger does not emanate from an act of Avera. But then we had a question. So what will we use to support the Cholol? Loi Tema Kohen Gadol Ba'almana Yichiyach. That can't be used to create a Tzad HaShava, because that Tzad HaShava was refuted. Ela Eimer Mitzri Rishon Yichiyach. We'll bring a Rai from Mitzri Rishon. Ma'al Mitzri Rishon, the halach is, that if a Mitzri Rishon gets married to Mitzvah Rishonah, or to any woman that he's not allowed to get married, the child will be a Mitzvah Sheni. He didn't do anything wrong by being a mitzvah, what he called by being a mitzvah rishon and marrying a mitzvah rishona. And yet the child is possible to a kohen. So we see that it has nothing to do with avera, because there's no avera being committed there. Says the Gemara, how could you bring a raya from a mitzurishin to a ger? Mal mitzurishin sheken en roy love b'kol. No one is allowed to marry a mitzurishin. A ger, everybody's allowed to marry besides a koyim. So that says cholo yichiach. A chol also everybody's allowed to marry besides a koyim. So the chazadei lo riza kriza. What is the common denominator between a mitzri and a cholo? She'ein and beroiv kol, the unique, that they're different, ubita psula. Afani ovis ager, she'ein and beroiv kol, ubita psula. Says the Gemara, mal tzad ha-shavashben, there is a common denominator between a mitzri rishin and a cholo. She'ein parislim b'yosin. That if a woman has relations, whether with a mitzri rishin or whether with a cholo, we learned the braisa just the other day, that woman becomes permanently disqualified from ever marrying a kohen. So that's what makes them different than a ger. Says Rabbi Yehuda, ger is nami paisel b'yasai. We learned on that very same braisa, on daf ayin dalid, that if a woman has relations with a ger, she also may not ever marry a kohen. And where does he take know from? Or maisalei behait ma'at sad ma'idina. He actually uses this sad shava to teach us two dina. One din he learns from the tzad shava is just like if someone has relations with a cholo, or if a woman has relations with a cholo, or if a woman has relations with a mitzri rishon, that woman becomes disqualified from ever marrying a kohen. So too is the din that if a woman has relations with a ger, she becomes disqualified from marrying a kohen. And another lima that we have from the tzad shava, according to Yehuda, so just like the daughter of a cholo and a bas yisrael is a chalola, and the daughter of a mitzri rishon and another woman, their daughter will be, even if it's a legal marriage, their daughter will be a mitzri shniya who can marry into the kohol, can marry kohen. Similarly, the daughter of a bas ger, a ger, even if he's married to yisraelis, will not be allowed to marry into kohanim. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, ger. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that we have to look at both parents. If both parents are gerim, then she's considered a geiris and may not marry a kohen, otherwise she may marry a kohen. Why does Rav Elazar ben Yaakov agree with the limud of Rabbi Yehuda that we just learned at Tzad HaShava? So the Rishonim explain, because Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is of the opinion that when we have at Tzad HaShava a common denominator, but the common denominator, what makes these two subjects that we're trying to connect, they have different chumras, you can't learn a tzad shava. A cholos chumra is that there was an avera committed. A mitzvah is a different iser. Mimele, you can't connect them to create a tzad shava. Now the Gemara introduces another opinion. Tanya Rav Shimon ben Yochi Omer, he has a different opinion. Giyaris pachusri ba'ashal shon of Yom Echad. If a girl became a geyrus when she's less than 3 years old, then kshera lakuna. Because the pasuk says, when they went out to Melchemes Midyan, the ka taf benoshim chach yulchem. You can leave all the women to be married to them, to marry to you, the small girls. Now the question is, we know that Pinchas led them in battle. And we know that Pinchas was a kayim. So how could the pasuk tell them you can marry these women if a kohen is not allowed to marry a geyrus, no matter what age she is? So how could the Torah be telling the soldiers who went to battle you can marry these women? You can't marry these women; they're too young. And says the Gemara, so that's a proof that if she's less than 3 years old, a kohen can marry her. So the Merushainim ask, maybe they were allowed to marry her because it was a yifas toyer. And the halacha is that a yifas toyer, there's a parasha discussed it the other day, that a person's allowed to marry a yifas toyer. It's a special, like dibur toyer al kenegad yetzahara, Rashi tells us in parashas Ki Tzei. It's a special rule. So how do we know that under normal circumstances, how can we use this pasuk to teach us that under normal circumstances, a kohen can marry a geyrus that's less than 3 years old? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz is that the halacha of your fast tire is only during battle. While they're in battle, you could take your fast tire. This pasuk was said to them after the battle was over. Another din, another terrace I saw, the din of your fast tire was only said by Mechemes Rishos. This was a Mechemes Mitzvah. By Mechemes Mitzvah, there is no din of your fast tire. Another terrace that I saw is that the din of your fast tire only became applicable after they came into Eretz Yisrael. This Muhammad was before they entered Eretz Yisrael. And yet another teretz, very nice teretz. What was the whole reason that they had this battle? Because there was the story of the Bnei Smidyan that caused them to sin. So the whole point of this war was to separate them from Goyish women. So they should go to the war, which all started because they had relations with non-Jewish women, and that the result of the war is that they're going to continue having relations with non-Jewish women. It defeats the whole purpose. So even if normally there is a din of your fast tire, it certainly wouldn't be applicable here. The Rabbanan, who disagree with Rav Shimon ben Yochai, what are they going to do with this pasuk? Rabbanan, hach yulachem avon v'shvachas. What he meant was that they should be left over, that they should be your slaves, but not that you can marry them. Ask the Mefarshim, we've learned that you're not allowed to marry, you have to kill all of these people. So how can you leave the men for Avodim? So there are a number of answers given. These are all subjects that we've discussed. One is that if there are opinions that say that if they're Megayer, you can let them live. That's what the pasuk means. Another Torah says that they cannot be left to live, but their children may be left to live. And the pasuk is speaking about the next generation. Says the Gemara, the Kulan, all of them, this machlokes regarding who is the ger that a kohen may marry, who is the ger that a kohen may not marry, Kulan mikra echadarsha. The pasuk says, a man of a grush la yichlam l'nashim ki im besulas mezer beis Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Sover, ad is kol zer Yisrael. As long as the father, who's the seed, has to be a Jew. If the father is a ger, his daughter may not marry a kohen. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Sover, mizera, tefillah mix of zera. As long as there's some zera, either parent is a born Jew, their child, their daughter may marry a kohen. Rabbi Yossi Sover, mishin nizra b'Yisrael. That's what he said. Rabbi Yossi says, as long as the child was born as a Yisrael, even though both of her parents are gerim, but if by the time she was born they were Jewish, that girl may marry a kohen. Shimon Yochai Sover, mishin nizra b'Yisrael b'Yisrael. As long as she became a besul as a Yisraelis, that means she was born as a non-Jew and she was mizgayer. But as long as the geirus took place before she was 3 years old, so by the time she became a besula, because we know that even if a girl has relations before she's 3 years old, besula chayzrin, she's considered a girl that a kohen can marry. Actually, from here we see, again, we're finishing Seder Noshim, we could review some of the sugyas that we learned. In Masechet Ksuvos Daf Yud Aleph, we learned the sugya about Ger Katan Matbilan Yisrael Das Bezdin. Here we see that a child that's even less than 3 years old can be made into a ger, because that's exactly how Rav Shimon Yochai explains the pasuk, that she was born non-Jewish and she was made a geiris before she was 3 years old. Amalei Rav Nachman L'Rava. Haikra, this pasuk, he asks, is a difficult pasuk to understand. Reish of a kohen gadol, the beginning of the pasuk speaks to a kohen gadol, Amana grush la yichu, we know only a kohen gadol may not marry Almana, the seif of a kohen hedget. And now we're defining that the end of the pasuk, the din of Geiris, speaks about even a kohen hedget. It's a pasuk switches subjects in the middle. Amalei, in. That's how we have to learn the pasuk. Ask the Gemara, the cause of Krahachi, is that the way psukim work, that they switch the subject in the middle of the pasuk? Amalei, in. There is such a precedent. The pasuk says in Shmuel, the Nero Lakim Terer Yichba, before Eli passes away, the Shmuel Shoycha Behechel Hashem, and Shmuel is laying in the Hechel Hashem. Shmuel is now going to take over the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, how can we say that Shmuel, the pasuk talking about Shmuel, Shoycha Behechel Hashem, v'loi en yeshiv b'azor al-malcha b'estav v'bovad, the only ones that could sit in the Azara and Malchus Beis David. So certainly Shmuel, who wasn't from Malchus Beis David, couldn't sit there, and he certainly couldn't lay there. And there are a number of halachas regarding this shaila about who's allowed to sit and who's not allowed to sit, where they're allowed to sit. First of all, the Rishonim say that in the Ezra's Noshim or in the other Lishkai's chambers, everybody was allowed to sit. We're only talking about the Azara. There's a machloikis, if the isser of sitting there is an isser deraisa, or isser derabonon, or halach l'moshe m'sinai. Another question that comes up is when the kahanim, we know that there are certain karbonos that the kahanim have to eat, and they only can eat in the azara. And we know that the pasuk says, l'moshcha, k'derech sh'malachim oichlim, that when a kohen eats the carbon meat that he gets, he has to eat it in a distinguished manner. Standing when you eat is not very polite. So the Rishonim say, when it says here, ein yeshiva el malchus beis David bilvad, means that if you just want to sit down, you can't sit down in the Azara. But if a kohen is sitting in the Azara because he needs to eat the carbon that he got, and that's the only place that he could eat it, and that's the only proper way to eat, that's not a prohibition, that's not violating this issa. Why is Malchus Beis David singled out? So I saw two pshat. One pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show the honor he's bestowing on Malchus Beis David, that no one could sit in the Azara, only Malchus Beis David. Another pshat is like this. When a person sits in a place where no one else could sit, it could get to his head that I'm somebody special. Here's the Azara. No one could sit here besides me, or only select individuals. The only one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm confident that allowing him to sit in the Azara will not lead to arrogance is Malchus Beis David. And therefore, he allowed the Malchus Beis David to continue sitting in the Azara. So, how do we understand this passage? Sheikh Beheichel Hashem cannot be speaking to Shmuel, because Shmuel certainly couldn't sleep in the Azara. Ella, we have to explain the pasuk this way. Eli hasn't yet died, and there's another pshat that's regarding Eli. So we see that the pasuk switches subjects. There's a pasuk in Yechezkel. A woman who's almana from a kohen may marry her, a kohen eged. Ask the Gemara. Mikayin in Misrael loy, a regular kohen hedyet could only marry the almana of a kohen. He can't marry the almana of Yisrael. Says the Gemara Hachkama. Mikayin yichu, mishar kahanim yichu. That the pasuk is telling us like this: the almana, even from a Yisrael yichu a kohen, as long as he's not a kohen gadol yichu, he may marry her. Tanya nami hachi, mikoyin yichu, mishar koyin yichu. The pasuk is teaching us every other koyin, other than the koyin gadol, may marry a almana. So the Meshech Chachma says our Gemara has very nicely tried to defend pshat in the pasuk, but that's not pashup pshat in the pasuk. How do we understand pashup pshat in the pasuk, where the pasuk seems to indicate that only the almana of kahanim, the only the Amon of Kahanim a Kohen may marry, not the Amon of anyone else. Why? So this is a beautiful pshat. The pasuk here is talking in the times where Yerushalayim was being attacked. We know that a Kohen's wife, even if she had relations, even if she was violated, she may not go back to her husband, the Kohen. She may never marry a Kohen. So we have a woman in Yerushalayim. How do we know that this woman wasn't violated? That a kohen should ever be married her? There's one way of knowing. If she is the almana of a kohen, that means her husband checked out that she was never violated, and therefore the next kohen may marry her. The almana should be almana of a kohen. If you have a woman who's an almana of a kohen, that is a proof that that woman was never violated. And therefore, Mekayin Yichu. That's the woman that a Kayin can marry. They can be sure that she is mutter to him. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Latameh. Rabbi Yehuda is following his opinion. Da Basker zacher, kibas chol zacher. That a bas ger zacher is like a bas chol zacher. Kosh at a nice bitoy, at a nice almanasai. Kosh at a nice bitoy, at a nice almanasai. Rav Yosi am afger shnosig yairus. We learned, I said it before, Rav Yosi's opinion is, even if both parents are gerim, as long as the girl was born Jewish, the halacha is that the kohen can marry her. Amar Rav Hamnuna Mishmeid Ula. The halacha actually follows Rav Yosi. That as long as a girl was born Jewish, it doesn't make a difference who her parents are. However, we came Amar Rav Barav Chana, halacha Rav Yosi. However, from when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Kohanim were strict, and they followed the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov. Why? So Rishonim explain, as we've learned in the Shurim about the issue of Yichus and the difficulty of ascertaining proper Yichus, one of the ways that they protected the Yichus was by making sure that a Kohen, even though halachically he can marry a woman whose both parents are gerim, as long as she was born Jewish, they took an extra measure of chumra. Amar Rav Nachman Amali, Ba Limolech, if somebody comes to ask a shayla, if a kohen comes to ask a shayla, which woman he's allowed to marry, Marim Loi Kerbel Elazar ben Yaakov, we tell him that if both of our parents are gerim, don't marry her. However, Nosa, if he marries a woman whose both parents are gerim, but she was already born Jewish, because we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. This sugya, actually, we discussed just the other day on Daf Ayin Dalad. This is the sugya of Yakir. Says the Mishnah, Haimer Beniza Mamzer, if somebody says, my son is a this son of mine is a Mamzer, ain't a Neman. He's not believed. Even if both parents admit that he's a Mamzer. Even if both parents say that this child is not from them, ain't them namonim. You don't in namonim, they're namon. But here we have a few important issues to raise. First of all, what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's position? As we learned on Daf Ayin Dalad, this is the concept of Yakir. We'll discuss it in the Gemara more. That the Torah gave a father namonis, the father a namonis to say, this is my son. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even has the namonis to say that there's a disqualification with a son. There's a machloikas rishonim. What is the mechanics of Yakir? Is Yakir edus? Or is Yakir a special din? Why would it be relevant? What would be if against the father's Yakir, we have two edim disagreeing with him? If we say it's edus, so it would be a situation of trey trey. If on the other hand it's a special din that the Torah gives to the father, that he has a special namonis, he's believed more than anyone else. Another very, very fundamental machlokes rishonim. According to Yehuda, the father is believed to say that this son is a mamzer. But we know that a mamzer could really be born in a number of ways. It basically boils down to two situations. One is that the parents are also to each other chayv krisis, chayv mises bez, according to Shimon Tamani, chayv mises bez, according to Yeshua, chayv lav, according to Bekiva, or that the mother had an adulterous relationship. So now the Rishonim debate, how far does the father have namonis? Does the father have namonis to say that my relationship with this woman is a chayv krisis? And that's why the child born is a mamzer. It's a chayv mises bez, that's why the child is a mamzer. But to say that my wife had an adulterous relationship and that's the child, to that he wouldn't have nemonis. Or is he even nemon to say that my wife had an adulterous relationship and he's going to be nemon to that case? Another machloikas rishonim, just to give a taste for the Gemara, according to the Tanna Kamma, that the father doesn't have nemonis. Machloikas Rashi in the Ran. Rashi says the father's completely disqualified. He can't even serve as a one aid here, because he's a karev, he's a relative. The Ran says that when the Tanna Kamma disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, it means to say that he doesn't have a special namonis that Rabbi Yehuda suggests he has. But to have namonis as a one of the aidim, that the Chacham perhaps would agree he does. Ask the Gemara, what does it mean v'afilu shneyam? Says the Gemara, lemme bai kama. The way to understand his mission is as follows. Lemme bai iu delai kimlei. A husband can never really be sure whose child his wife is carrying. He doesn't know what his wife did all the time. Elafi iu, the kimla. She says, I'm certain that the child I'm carrying is not from this man, and therefore he's a mamzer. Loi mehemna. V'loi mebai hecha disloi chesku de kashrus. If we have a child that's born, and we have a person that there's a cheskus kashrus, that's certainly loi mehemna. Elafil ubenami, the less loi chesku de kashrus, a fetus doesn't yet have a cheskus kashrus, still loi mehemni. Rabbi Yehudaim and Namanim, as we explained why on Namanim, Kitanya. The pasuk says, Yakir, Yakirenu lacherim. The father has namanas to say that this is my child. Mikan Amr Yehuda, Neman Adam Loime, Ze Bini Bechar. The father has namanas to say, this son of mine is a Bechar. How, and continues the Rabbi Yehuda saying, Kshem Shneman Adam Loime, Ze Bini Bechar. Just like a father has namanas to say that this child is a Bechar, Kach Neman Adam Loime, Zem Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. He has namanas to say he's a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. So the Rishonim ask, where does Rabbi Yehuda take this from? The Torah says, Yakir. But who says he has so much of an amonis? So we quoted the Taisus and Daf Ayin Dalad. Taisus gives two terutzim. When the Taisus says a person has an amonis to say that a son is Bechor, what does it mean? That a person has a number of children, and he's saying that this one is the Bechor. He's not the oldest one, but he's the Bechor. So what is he essentially saying? That everybody else, there's something wrong with. Because there was nothing wrong with them, why is he who's not the oldest, the Bechor. So it's a raya that a father has the manas to say, bear about his son. Another teretz, the Ben Eliyahu, we learned this on Daf Ayin Dalet, says as follows. The parsha that says the pasuk of Yakir begins with the pasuk, Ki'il ish nei nosh ma'achas ahuva v'achas snua. And we learned what does snu mean? Snua ben nesuea. What does snu ben nesuea mean? That there was a violation in that marriage. So we see that the Torah is speaking to a case where he's saying something wrong about the child, and he's still nema. However, I saw two very interesting comments that the Rishonim make, even in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who's so lenient and gives the father so much nemanis. Let's say a father has a son, and now the sons already have sons, and now the father comes and says that this son is a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. And by saying that his son is Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, he's not only disqualifying his son, he's also disqualifying his grandsons. Then he doesn't have nemanis. The nemanis is strictly on his son. And it goes even a step further. A gewaldige chiddush I saw. By saying, if we believe him, when he says that his son is a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, he's also saying that his wife had an improper relationship, and as we just learned in the previous sugya, if a woman has an improper relationship, she becomes also to a kohen. She's a zayna, she's a chalala. Say to Rishonim, the only time, even according to Yehuda, he'll have this namanam, is if the woman is dead. She's not disqualifying her, because she's dead already. But if she were alive, and by him being believed with this testimony, it even adversely affects his wife, even if she's not his wife anymore, he would not be nemam. One more question. How could he believe? By saying that this son is a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza means that he did an Aveira. An Eir Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha. So I quoted a number of terutzim. One terutz is that he says, when I had relations with her, I didn't know she was a Gerusha Chalutza. So I didn't do anything wrong because I didn't know that she was a Gerusha Chalutza. Or it's referring to a situation where everybody knows that this woman is a Gerusha Chalutza, so it's not Meis Matzma Rasha, because we know it anyway. The Chum disagree. Ain't a Neman. And I said before, Machlok Shoshayim, how to understand what the Chum say, Ain't a Neman. Some Rishonim suggest that Ain't a Neman, that the father doesn't have any Nemanis at all. Other Rishonim suggest that he has Nemanis to say he's Bechor, he just doesn't have Nemanis to say Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. Amalei Rav Nachman Ben Yitzchak L'Rava, Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda, a coin to Rabbi Yehuda that gives the father the special namonis. We could understand what the pasuk says, Hainadik Siv Yakir. El Rabbanan that don't give the father the special namonis, Yakir Lomeli. What is the pasuk Yakir coming to teach us? Betzer Chakera. When the son needs to be recognized. Ask the Gemara, Lamai Hichasa. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Losus Le Pishnaim. that the father can identify that this is my son, that's the Bechor, that the Bechor, we know, gets a double portion in the inheritance. Says the Gemara, Pshita, a father certainly can have that namonis. Lamali Kro, I don't need a posik to give that father that namonis. Migi debay miyes lemetana. What would be if the father wanted to give him all of his assets today? He could give it to him. Milo Yehavale. So, just like the father could do that, that's why he should have namonis. And Rabbi Chanan explains this is more than a regular midugi. This is a concept of biyodai. Anything that I could do, I have namonis on. Says the Gemara, it's minchasim shenafle lach mekan. What can I give away today? I could give away today what, while I'm here. But I'm identifying as a bechor, even for things that will be here when I'm not here anymore. Ask the Gemara, so then again, what is the pasuk teaching us? Says Yaakov Lomeli. Says the Gemara, not like a goyses. The halacha is a goyses can't make a kinyan. Two reasons the Rishonim give: either because the halacha doesn't view the goyses as a living person, or because a goyses no longer has clarity of mind. So normally, even if a person says he could say a child is bechor because he could have given it to him anyway. But here, a goyses could not have done that. Gives the Torah special namonis to a father, special kaich to a father, that he could do that.